A little bit crooked. I'm gonna. I'll turn it to you. Let me just. All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So today is Daf is Ayin Gimel 73. We are going to pick up from Ayin Beis Amud Beis 72 Beis. Remember, we left off yesterday with Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we are 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishur, Mishur, Menyot Tzadak, Be'elu Nidarim Amru. The Bible says, when it comes to these Nidarim, so remember, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that if a man was Mekadesh woman Amenas, She'in Alea Nidarim, a Mekadesh woman on the condition that she doesn't have any existing vows on her, and then they are found that she has vows, she's not Mekudashas. Furthermore, the Mishnah said that Kin Sustam, if a man married a woman Stam, and it's found that she has Nidarim, so again, I will say, that's also called the Mekachtos. That's called, again, a mistaken transaction, which is ultimately voidable. And therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, the Mishnah says, Teitze Shelo B'Ksuva. She goes out of the marriage without a Ksuva. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishur Mishem and Yol Tzadok, Be'elu Nidarim Amru. What type of Nidarim are we referring to? These type of Nidarim. For example, Shelo Tocha Bas, a woman has a Nidar not to eat meat. Shelo Tishtei Yayin, not to drink wine. Not to wear colored clothing. That supports this. So what kind of nidarim are we speaking about over here? Nidarim that have some type of afflictive component to them. She won't eat meat. She won't drink wine. And she won't wear colored clothing. So Rav Papa was puzzled a little bit by this price, and he wondered to himself, Ahia, which case is this referred to? Meaning, well, so remember, the Mishnah stated two cases. Bless you. The Mishnah stated case number one was the case of a man who's Mekadesh with an explicit Tanai, that I'm Mekadesh you on the condition that you don't have any Tanai. Okay, excuse me, I'm sorry. That you don't have any Nidarim. So what happens if she has Nidarim? The halacha is in a Mekudeshas. That's case number one. Case number two is he married her Kin Sustam. He married her without any pre-stated qualifications. And what happens? Turns out that she has Nedarim. So what does the Mishnah say? Teitzei Shelo B'Ksuva. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is coming along and qualifying what type of Nedarim are we referring to. So now the Shaila is, which case is Rabbi Yochanan referring to? Is Rabbi Yochanan referring to the case of Kiddushin Al Tanai, or is he referring to the case of Kin Sustam? So the Gemara says, Ilei Ma'areisha. If you want to say something about the first case in the Mishnah, that can't be. Remember, it can't be the Reisha, because the Reisha is when he does Kiddushin Al Tanai. When he's making Kiddushin Al Tanai Rabbo said, and that Tanai covers what? Any type of Neder. Therefore, it must be what? That is referring to the Seifa. So the Gemara says, Ela Seifa. Ravashi says, no. Aliolam A Reisha. Really, it is referring to the Reisha. Umidi de kapti be inshi, havi kapede kapeda. Midi de lo kapti be inshi, lo havi kapede kapeda. Well, so that's actually very interesting. So the Gemara now says that it's going on the Reisha, but listen to this. Even though he says you're Mikudesh, just on the condition that you have no Nidarim, and then it turns out that she has Nidarim, it's not any Neder that will undermine the effectiveness of the Kiddushin. It's only Nidarim that what? That people would normally be makbid on. But if there is a neder that people are not normally makbid on, then lemaisa what? Then lemaisa that would not unravel, that would not void the kiddush. So it's very important. So what it's saying over here is what Rabbi Yochanan is qualifying is saying, not every single neder is a deal breaker. Only nedarim that somehow impact him or impact her in a way that impacts their marriage, which ultimately impacts him, are grounds ultimately for the voiding of Kiddushin. But Nidarim that have absolutely no impact on him. He says, you know, she says, I'm not going to wear pink nail polish. I'll only wear every other color. So it doesn't matter to him. It has no impact on him. Therefore, by definition, Rabbi Yochanan would say that even though he made a blanket Nidar saying if you have any, he made a blanket tonight saying if you have any Nidarim on you, the Kiddushin is not valid. But so it's Rabbi Yochanan that only applies to Nidarim that impact him. But if there's a Nidar that has no impact on him, then by definition, the Kiddushin would not be void.
If you expressed it more clearly, Could he include even those?
Oh, so you know, if he literally explicitly said, you know, as you're my kedusha on the condition that there is no neder, even if it does not impact me and other situations that normal people would not care about, I still say, if he's that explicit, then yes, it would be voidable. Itmar kitchal tonight the kinsa stam. But another interesting case. Let's say a man is mekadesh a woman. Al tonight, so he goes ahead, and you could just use this case. He's mekadesh on the condition that she doesn't have any nedarim upon her. And then what happens? The kinsa at the time of nisuin, however, he doesn't say anything. So kiddushin was done with the tonight, but at the time of nisuin, he never restated the tonight. So the shaylin now is now what happens? So they do nisuin, and it turns out that what? That she has nedarim. So what's the status of the marriage? Rav Amar tzrichim and a get. Rav says that she requires a get. Now, we'll say, now when you say requires a get, what that means is it was a good marriage. So even though now he discovered that she has nedarim, at the end of the day, the marriage itself is still a valid marriage. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, Einot tzricha heimen a get. Shmuel says, no, she doesn't require a get. So we'll say, when Shmuel says she doesn't require a get, why not? Shmuel will say, because again, the tenai of the kiddushin was never fulfilled, and therefore the ma'aseh said the marriage is voidable. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye says, lo teima tamei d'rav, kevan shenichnas tam achuli achle l'tenoi. So we'll say, we would be tempted to say that the logic according to Rav is like this. Since he stated a tenai by kiddushin, but he did not restate that tenai by nisuin, so what does it sound like? It sounds like he has forgiven the tenai, that he's given it up. Meaning, although he made a kiddushin, because he didn't restate it at nisuin, it must be that he's mochel, that he's forgiving. So Abaye says, don't say that that's the reason of Rav. Rather, ela taimid Rav lefisha ein adam osa bi'ilasa bi'ilas znos. Oh, so to which the Gemara says, do you know what Rav's logic is? Rav's logic is, Rabbi says, that a person does not want to make his bia a bias znos. Therefore, essentially what? At the time of the marriage, after nisun, when they're going to consummate the marriage, so he realizes now, if he holds to his tenai, and it turns out that in fact she does have nedarim, so it's true, the marriage is voided. There's only one problem, Rabbi says. You can retroactively void a marriage. What can't you retroactively void? Bia, right? The bia happened. So the problem is, if you retroactively void the marriage, then in essence, what you're saying is that the bia was a bias nus. Again, you didn't have kavana for instance, that wasn't your intention, but lemaisa, it's nus. So therefore, again, Abaye says that Rav holds that a person does not go ahead and make his bia a bias nus. So in reality, the tenai itself is still considered to be a valid tenai. And therefore, again, technically, there shouldn't be a marriage. But a person doesn't want their bia to be a bias nos. Therefore, to a certain degree, they go out and they give up the tenai. Look at Rashi. Elam taima d'rav. Le'inyan get de kasavar ein adam ose bilasa bilas nos. Person doesn't want his active relations to be an active immorality. Uba l'shem kiddushin. Va'afilu yimatsi alea nedarim. Mamona this is interesting. Now we're going to make a distinction over here between what we'll call the kiddushin, well, the iser and the mamon. So when it comes to an issue of iser, so therefore he doesn't want his bia to become bias nos, and therefore he has kavana that he's going this act of relations will cement their relationship, even if lemaisi he finds nedarim. However, when it comes to financial components, like ksuva, if it turns out that, in fact, again, she did have nedarim upon her, then lemaisa what? He would not be obligated to give her the ksuva. So the Gemara says the following, Hapli yibachad azimna. But Rav and Shmuel already argued about this once before. So the Gemara says, the itmar we learned, kitana shalomiyana, if a kitana doesn't do miyun, vigdil imar. Let's remember again, this is talking about a situation where a girl, a minor girl, was married off by her mother or brother. So rabbinic marriage. So the halacha is, remember, she has the ability to get out of that marriage whenever she wants through miyun. What does miyun mean? Simple refusal. I don't want this anymore. That's miyun. So we'll say, listen to this case. So in this case, brother or mother married her off rabbinic marriage. And what happened? She didn't do miyun. She became an adult woman. And she continued to live with her husband. Then what happens? Amda v'nises. Then she decided she wanted to marry another guy. Fine. Only one small issue, which is what Rav Hosai, that Lamaisa, she never received the get from the first guy. So now she's accepted marriage from the second guy. So what's the step? So now the Shaila is, does she require a get from husband number two or not? So Rav Amar Rav says, Ein tzricha get misheni. So Rav says she does not require a get from a second husband. Rav says, the logic behind that would seem to be why. Why does she require a get from a second husband? Because there's no second marriage. Because, maybe we're dealing with an issue of adultery. But Lamaise, again, there's no second marriage that takes place. Ushmul Amar Shmuel said, no, tzricha get misheni. She requires a get from the second husband. Rav says, now remember, Rav's logic is like this. Rav's logic, if you look at Rashi, Ein tzricha get misheni. Rav says, Dechi gadla ba'ale ala shen kiddushin. Deyodehu she'en kiddushay ketana klom. So remember, here's the issue. The issue is that when a man marries a minor girl, so that's rabbinic kiddushin. So remember again, how does that rabbinic kiddushin ever morph into biblical marriage? Once she becomes an adult and they have relations, so Rav will say that act of relations affects new kiddushin, because the husband knows that he only has a rabbinic marriage to his wife. He wants to have a biblical marriage. So what happens when she becomes an adult and he has relations with her? That act of relations is for the sake of affecting kiddushin, and therefore lemaisa, again, it's a biblical marriage. That's Rav's logic. Because it's a biblical marriage, therefore, again, if she accepts kiddushin from a second man, what's the halacha? That kiddushin is ineffective, and therefore she doesn't require a get. On the other hand, what does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, no, she does require a get from the second one. Look at Rashi. Tzricha get misheni. Dechola boel al das kiddushin harishonim boel. See, Rabbi say, Shmuel says, people are not as smart as you think they are. That when this man marries this woman, this girl, it's not a woman, he marries this minor girl and he gives her brother or her mother kesef kiddushin. So we'll say, his assumption is that the entire marriage is predicated on that first act of kiddushin. And when she becomes an adult and he has relations with her, he does not have in mind to affect a new kiddushin. His entire marriage is predicated on that first act of kiddushin. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Va'af agav demodis Shmuel she'asur l'shne she'asur l'sheni d'mishna shleima hi de'in abas." So we'll say, so essentially, the fundamental machlokis is like this: Rav holds that a man knows that his first marriage is rabbinic. And therefore, if he's going to have a biblical marriage, he has to have a second kiddushin, so to speak, with this girl when she goes ahead and she reaches the age of majority, she becomes an adult. Therefore, again, remember, they're living together after she became an adult. There was bia, therefore. She says bia with her as an adult. Rav assumes that bia is for the sake of affecting newfound biblical kiddushin. And therefore, if she accepts marriage from another man, that marriage is ineffective. And there she doesn't require a get from husband number two. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, it's not true. That he does not have in mind for affecting new kiddushin. He has in mind that the first act of kiddushin is all they need. And therefore, again, all they have is what? Rabbinic marriage. Because all they have is rabbinic marriage, technically speaking, if she accepts biblical kiddushin from another man, then what? Technically it works. And therefore, to get out of that second marriage, she requires a get. I'm sorry?
That lasts forever.
So Rav will say until the point where, Shmuel will say yes, until the point where he actually has kavana to go ahead and re-energize this marriage with a biblical kiddushin, it's a rabbinic marriage. So we'll say, so now listen to this. So remember, the Gemara is just suggesting, we've already seen this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel before. So now what the Gemara is suggesting over here, it's the same fundamental dispute. The same fundamental dispute is that, do we assume that a couple always focuses, or that a husband is always focused on the initial act of kiddushin or not? So remember again, in the case on Ayin Beis and Beis, it was the case of kidsha al tanai v'kinsa stam. So he married her with the tanai that she doesn't have any nidarim, but at the time of nisuin, he didn't go ahead and restate the tanai. So the shaila is, how do we view his non-restating of the tanai? Does that mean he's forgotten about the tanai? Or does that mean, no, the tanai of the kiddushin still stands? So remember again, so then what happens? It turns out she has nedarim. So Rav holds tzricha hemena get. So Rav holds that lemaisa again, ein adamos abilas abilas nos. And therefore lemaisa again, we assume that he's given up on the tanai. Shmuel, on the other hand, says she doesn't require a get. Why? Because Shmuel says the criteria present at the first act of kiddushin is the criteria that remains. Now the Gemara is just suggesting, well, why are you telling me this? We already saw this machlokas. Because in this case, again, of where a man marries a minor girl, then she grows up, they have bia, then she goes ahead and accepts kiddushin from another man. Does she require a get or not? So Rav will say she doesn't require a get. Why? Because l'maisa, again, Rav holds that she's married to the first guy, and Shmuel says that she requires a get. Why? Because Shmuel assumes that it's all focused on the first act of Kiddushin, and the first act of Kiddushin was rabbinic. So why do I need two cases that essentially restate the same thing? Tzricha, di'i itmar bahahi, because if I would have just said this case, bahi kamarav mishum deleka tenor, so I would have said that Rav holds this way, this in the case of the Kitana. Why? Because there's no tenai. About baha di'ika tenor, Rabbi say in the previous case of where is Makadisha with the Tanai that she doesn't have Nadarim, perhaps Rav would agree with Shmuel that once the Tanai was stated at the onset of Kiddushin, that Tanai remains even if it's not restated at Nisuin. V'i'itmar b'ha, and if we would have just stated the Tanai case, b'ha ka'amr Shmuel, in that case Shmuel holds his position, ava b'hach, but in the case of the Kitana, ema modi le'l-Rav, I would say that perhaps he holds like Rav, therefore, tzricha, therefore, both cases are needed. Tanan, kinsa stam v'nimtzu ala nedarim. So we'll say, now remember again, the Mishnah said that if a man, this is quoting our Mishnah, if a man married a woman, stam. Now, both remember, kinsa stam means, now we'll have to qualify exactly what this case does mean. But kinsa stam means he does nisuin, and there's no explicit tanai. So what happens? So kinsa stam v'nimtzu ala nedarim. But then it turns out that what? She made nedarim, that impact their life together. So teisei shelo b'ksuva. So the halach is she leaves the marriage and she forfeits her ksuva. Mekach tos. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Ksuva hu d'lo baya, hagita baya. The Bosan, we can infer from this that what? She doesn't get her ksuva, but what does she require? She requires a get. So on one hand, there's a forfeiture of the ksuva, but yet again, she requires a get, seemingly indicating that what Rabbi said, that this was a valid marriage. So the Gemara says, so what's the case? So the Gemara says, my love, kid sha'al tanai v'kinsa astam. We will say, kinsa astam. Is the case of the Mishnah not a case of where there was tanai at the time of Kiddushin? So hari'at mikudesh asli amenas she'in alach alayich shum nedarim. You are mikudesh on the condition that you have no nedarim on you. Then at the time of Nisuin, he did not restate the tanai. And yet what? We say that if he gets married, once he marries her and he realizes that she has nedarim, what's the halacha? Teitei shelo b'ksuva. Which indicates, that's what Rabbi was saying, that l'maisa, if you make a tanai at the time of Kiddushin, even if you do not restate at the time of Nisuin, nevertheless what? The tanai still stands to yofta the Shmuel. And Rabbi was saying this would refute the position of Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that what? And this would refute the position of Shmuel. Correct. So the Gemara says, Tufta Shmuel, lo. So the Gemara says, lo, what's the case? Kitcha stam, v'kinsa stam. No, what's the case here, Rabbi? The case over here is a case of kitcha stam, v'kinsa stam. Which means what? He's being Mekadisha without any explicit conditions, and therefore he is marrying without any explicit conditions. And nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling me that there's an automatic assumption that should the husband find out that she does in fact have Nedarim upon her, that would be grounds for forfeiture of the Ksuva. Aval Kidsha al Tanai, the Kinsistam. But Rabosa, if he was Mekadisha with the Tanai, and he married her without restating the Tanai, Hachinami de lo baye gito. In that case, Rabbi says she would not require a get. So here's what's interesting. Now we have two cases. Case number one, Rabbi says, where kitcha stam, kinsa stam, where, again, no explicit tanoim either way. So you can't really claim full mekachtos. You can't claim a full voidable transaction. Therefore, she will require a get. But she will absolutely forfeit her ksuva. However, Rabbi says, in the case of kitcha al tanai v'kinsa stam, there was a tanai at the time of Kiddushin, but it was not restated at the time of Nisuin. In that case, Rabbi say what? We know that the tanai still stands, even though it was not explicitly restated at the time of Nisuin. In that case, not only does she forfeit her ksuva, but what? He could void the marriage even without a get. So, well, if that's the case, Adetani, Hamikadesh as Aisha Amanashi and Alana Darim, Benim to Alana Darim, Ina Mikudeshes. But if that's the case, instead of the Mishnah saying that if a man was Mekadesh woman on the condition that she has no Nedarim, and then it turns out that she has Nedarim, Eina Mikudesh, she's not Mikudesh, I'll tell you a better case. Listen, why don't you instead say, Kin Sistam V'nimtzu Ala Nedarim, Eina Mikudesh? Then I'll both say, why don't you just state the case of Kin Sistam V'nimtzu Ala Stam, which means again, the case of where he was Mekadesh Stam, Kin Sistam, and then it finds out that she has Nedarim, Eina Mikudeshes, that she's not Mikudeshes, V'chol Shekin Ha. And I will say, of course, it would go without saying about the previous case. to which the Gemara says, Hachinami kamar. You're right. This is what it means to say. Ha-mekadish esa isha amanashi in ala nadarim. Both say, if a man goes ahead as a mekadish woman, ha-mekadish that she doesn't have any nadarim, the kinsa stam. So remember again, in this case, there's an explicit t'nai at the time of kiddushin, but kinsa stam. But at the time of nisuin, no restating of that t'nai. Vinim tzuala nadarim, and then it turns out that what? She has nadarim upon her. So what's the halacha? Eina mekudeshes. So we'll say the halacha is that she is not mekudeshes. However, again, because we'll say that's a case of where there was an explicit t'nai made at the time of kiddushin, and even if it's not restated by the time of nisuin, the assumption is that t'nai is still present. However, kid shastam, vikin shastam, but we'll say if you have a situation where both kiddushin and nisuin were done without any explicit mention of any conditions, and then it turns out that what? That she has nedarim upon her. What's the halacha? Teitzei shelo b'ksuva. She goes out of the marriage without a ksuva. But however, ksuva udalo baya, hagita baya. But we'll say, what do you see from here? She doesn't need a ksuva, she doesn't get a ksuva, but what does she need? She does require a get. That will say, now you have to understand something. The Gemara says, that is inherently inconsistent. Right? Because again, we assume that the forfeiture of the ksuva is based on what? The fact that there is really no marriage. It's a mekachtos. But if there's a mekachtos and there's no marriage, then what? Then what? And she shouldn't require a get either. Usually that's a package deal. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Maishna ksuva de lo baya. Excuse me, de lo baya. Do amar ef shi bi isha nidrana. So I will say, why is it that in this case, I will say, where kinsa bitnai, excuse me, kidsha bitnai. Oh, she's, excuse me, let me say it differently. Kidsha stam vikinsa stam. So in a case where he married her without any explicit conditions, but yet then he finds out that she has nedarim, so what's the halacha? Teitzei shelo b'ksuva. She goes out, she doesn't get a ksuva, but she does require a get. So we'll say, why doesn't she get a ksuva? Because a man could say, if she be isha nadranis. I don't want to be married to a woman who makes vows. So we'll say, remember again, we've already spoken about this before, that previous Mishnah said, we don't like vowers. The reason we don't like vowers is because vowers get themselves into big trouble because very often they make vows and they don't fulfill them. And remember, we spoke about the collateral damage that that could cause within a family, within a marriage. So if a man discovers that his wife is a chronic or habitual vower, so what happens, right? So he says, I don't want a marriage like this. Had I known this, I would not have married her. Okay, mekachtos. So that's the case. But again, I will say, so the other side of that coin is what you're essentially saying is, this is information that's present now that had you known it at the time of the marriage or at the time of the nisuin or kiddushin, you would never have married this woman. Okay, that's vows. That's grounds for dissolution of the marriage, for mekachtos. But it's a mekachtos. Shouldn't have to give her a get either. I'm sorry?
How far does that stretch?
So we're going to see that. That's going to be a dedicated sugya about what is the grounds for marriage. I didn't know you bite your nails. You know, biting nails drives me crazy. I don't know you bite. I would have never married you. Right? So obviously, there's going to have to be some point of cutoff where mekachtos, we're going to see that.
But isn't that what the previous mission talked about? That there are certain guidelines.
Correct. Although, remember, there are certain guidelines in terms of for nedarim. But now we're going to see, in general, even outside of the nedarim, there are certain behaviors or certain realities that are grounds for mekachtos. Other things, which are just nuisances, right? Every person has their quirks. You know, every person, it's interesting. You know, we all know, like, the longer a person is married, the more spouses discover about each other. And some of those things you like, some of those things you don't like. But lamaisa, not everything you don't like is grounds for dissolution or voiding of a marriage. So we'll see that framework. So the Gemara says, what's happening over here? Rava Amar, Tana Sapuki Misafkile. Well, so listen to this. The Tana was not sure about the nature of this marriage. So we'll say, here's what you have. This is the case, remember, of Kidsha Vikinsa Stam. So in this case over here, no explicit T'nai is being made. No explicit t'nai is being made. And therefore, the ma'isa, again, so what happens? He's not saying anything explicit. Then it turns out that she's the chronic, she's the habitual vower. So he says, I don't want this. I want out of this marriage. So we know for a fact that what? We know that this is grounds for dissolution of a marriage. We know that.
Skip that. I'm a rabbi.
Oh, thank you. Amar Rabba says, Tzricha get me divrayim. Shabbos says, in reality, what's required over here, thank you, we need a rabbinic get. This is a rabbinic get. So why? What's the logic over here? Because Rava says, Amar Rava, sapuke misafkile. So we'll say the issue over here, the issue at hand, because remember, we'll say what the Gemara is bothered by is it's inherently inconsistent. If you're going to say that if you're going to say that finding out that she's a chronic vower is enough to go ahead and say that Lamaisa, he doesn't have to pay her the ksuva, then it should be enough to say that she doesn't require a get to get out of the marriage as well. So why don't we say it by ksuva and not by get? Because the Tana himself it's a suffix. He's not sure. So what happened? So he's meaning he's not sure. What he's not sure about, look at Rashi, sapuki misafkile, astam adam, ef she be ishan adronis im lav. So you'll say, this guy is saying over here that I don't want a woman who's a vower. The shayla is, would most people have this hakpada or not? Would most people share this sentiment or not? So the Tana's not sure if this is truly grounds for avoidability or not. Therefore, legabe mamona lekula. When it comes to monetary assets, we're going to be makel. The Bible says makel in this context means what? That we're not going to make the husband pay the money. Makel means leave the money where it is right now. Don't extract money. However, gabi isur l'chumra. When it comes to matters of isurim, we're going to what? We're going to go l'chumra, which means what? We're going to require a get. But as Rabbo explained, that is only a rabbinic get. So Bible says what it comes down to is like this. Essentially, you have three cases. The easiest case is kidsha b'tnai, Vikinsa b'tanai. Now the Gemara doesn't even speak about that case because it's so obvious. So if Kiddush was made with a tanai that she doesn't have nedarim, and Yisurin is made with a tanai, and it turns out that she's a chronic vower, it's obvious. Mekach tos, total avoiding of the marriage, no get, no ksuva. Okay? Second case is Kidsha b'tanai, Vikinsa stam. It appears now that everyone's going to agree that in that case as well, we're going to assume that the Tanai still stands. And Lemaisa, again, even though he didn't restate it at the time of the Nisuin, the assumption is that Tanai is still there. Therefore, it turns out that she's a vower, grounds for dissolution of the marriage. The complicated case is Kinsastam, the Kidshastam. Excuse me, I should say opposite. Kidshastam, the Kinsastam. Where ultimately he makes no explicit Tanai, but then he found at the time of Kiddushin or Nisuin, but it turns out then that she's a chronic vower. He's upset. He wants to dissolve the marriage. We're not sure what to do in this case. So because we're Mesupak, essentially what we do is when it comes to financial matters, we go Lakula, right? And Lakula means keep money where it is. Don't extract money from anyone. Therefore, again, she doesn't get Iksuva. When it comes to Isser, matters of Isurim, we're going to go Lakhumra, and therefore we're going to require him to give her a get in order to effectively dissolve the marriage. Amar Rabba, Machlokis Petosh Deinoshim. So this Machlokis, Rabba says, is only when it comes to what he calls the shtei noshim. Aval toz isha achas divrei akol itzricha meigen. I will say, now listen to this. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Machlokes to Rav and Shmuel. The machlokes to Rav and Shmuel. I will say, remember, which is the fundamental machlokes, as to whether or not, remember, machlokes to Rav and Shmuel goes back to the original case, where kidsha b'tnai v'kinsa stam. So what happens in that case? So remember, again, Rav said that l'maisa tzricha meigen, because Rav assumes that if he didn't restate the Tanai at the time of Nisuin, then he let it lapse. And Shmuel says, no, even if he didn't restate it at the time of Nisuin, it's still in effect. So the Gemara, now Rabbah qualifies this, and Rabbah says, this machlokis is only by Shtei Noshim. Now look at Rashi. Beto Shtei Noshim. Kidesh Lea Al Tanai V'isha Acheres Kine Stam Acheret. But listen to this case. So Rabbah says, the machlokis is only in the case of Shtei Noshim. So let's say he went ahead and He did kiddushin with Leah al Tanai. So Leah, you're kiddushin to me on the condition that you don't have any tanoim. V'isha acheres kinei stam. He's a busy guy. What happens? He does kiddushin with another woman with Rachel, totally permitted. Right? There's nothing illegal in this case, but he makes no explicit tanai with her kiddushin. So v'nimtzu alei nedarim. So remember, so he says to Leah explicitly, "I'm mekadesh you on the condition that you have no nedarim." And then he goes over to Rachel and he says, "Hare ad mekadesh li," and doesn't make the tanai. And it turns out that what? Rachel has made nedarim. So v'hainu ta'usa v'rav savar kevan delo asni b'hada d'hach af apishek v'agila daito sheshi bin adranas tzvichay meneget dilma l'gaba d'hach aviva ala v'lo kapit u'shmuel amar kevan d'gali daito galibos. Listen to this. So the Gemara is now going to suggest, Rabbah suggests, that the only thing that's machlokes Rav and Shmuel is when it's two women. Rabbah said, now what does two women mean? to him, it means like this case. He's Mekadish woman number one with a Tanai, but he's Mekadish woman number two without a Tanai, but it turns out that woman number two has Nedarim. So we'll say, so what's the status of that second marriage? So Rav will say, well, look, because he didn't go ahead and restate it with wife number two, it must be maybe he loves her more and therefore he's willing to go ahead and overlook her Nedarim issues, and therefore we can't assume that his Akpad about Nedarim applies to wife number two. On the other hand, Shmuel says, no. Once he's made the Tanai by wife number two, by wife number one, we assume that what? He stated, this is my Hakpada. And even if he did not go ahead and restate it by wife number two, that same Tanai still applies to wife number two. That's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Aval batos isha achos. But Rabbi say, when it comes to quote-unquote a tos, a mistake, with one woman, and I will say, now that's the case of where he was Mekadesha with the Tanai, but at the time of Nisuin, he didn't say anything. Everyone will agree, Divrei HaKol, even Rav, Ein Tzricha Hemena Get. Everyone will agree that the initial Tanai still stands, and therefore if it turns out that she is a chronic vower, that is grounds for dissolution of the marriage, even without a get. So the Gemara says, Amarli Abaye. So Abaye said, one second, V'hamas Nisin Detos Isha Achasi. But our Mishnah is the case of what we'll call a Tos Isha Achas, of a mistake, right? Of a mistake by a case of one woman. V'kamos Vinon Tiyuftamine. And yet we go ahead and we bring up Akasha from our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ela Yitmar Hach Yitmar. Amar Rabba, Machlokis Petos Isha Achas, Ke'en Shtey Nashim. Rather, Rabba said that the Machlokis of Rav and Shmuel is in a case of a mistake that was made by one woman that is like a case of two women. Now I will say, now what does that mean, a case of one woman like two women? Look at Rashi. Machlokis Petos Isha Achas, Ke'en Shtey Nashim, Kitsha Al Tanai. If a man is Mekadosh Woman Al Tanai, Vigir Shamina Erusin, and the Rabba say, what happens? He divorces her from Erusin. Vichazer Vikinsa Stam. And Rabbi say, what happens? He remarries her again, but this time what? Without a Tanai. Without a Tanai. So Rashi says, Bahi Amarav Tzricha Get, Dechi Isha Acheres Dami, Ulashim Kedushin Baal, Velekal Neymar Atnoi Kama Samach, Ushmol Tzavar, Hagol Edai Tamei Karadim, Hine Adronis, Iyavshi Baal. So listen to this. So when's the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel? When is an Isha Achas, one woman like two women? What's that case? Man marries a woman and says, a man does Kedushin with a woman and says, you're Mekedesh to me on the condition that you have no Tanai, that you have no Nedarim on you, and then he divorces her from Erison. And then what? He decides to remarry her. And when he remarries her, he does not make a Tanai again. So what's the status? And then he marries her, and then it turns out that what? That she's a chronic vower. So what happens now? So now the Gemara says, something very interesting, that according to Rav, the fact that he did not restate the Tanai at the second marriage indicates to us what? That Lamaisa, he let it lapse, he doesn't care about it anymore. And Shmuel says no. Shmuel says the fact that when he first did Kiddushin with this woman, he made the Tanai, that indicates to us that he doesn't want to marry a woman who's a chronic vower. And that Tanai applies now even the second time around, even though he did not explicitly state it. Aval b'tos isha achas gridasa. But Rabbi says, in stame case of tos isha achas, which Rabbi says is a case of where is mekadesha with a Tanai, but then does need someone without a Tanai, divrei hakol eina tzricha himena get. Everyone agrees that the first Tanai will stand. Ze'esve abayabay reiz zekasha, kidsha b'tos, if a man is mekadesha woman with b'tos, with a mistake, meaning it's a mistaken kiddushin, or upachos mishaver pruta, or a man is a chadish woman with an article less than a shaver pruta, v'chein katan shekidish, all right, or so too if a katan did kiddushin, afapi sheshalach sivlonos la'achar mikan. Now this is talking about a case where he did kiddushin when he was a katan, but then once he became a gadol, the custom was that over the course of erusin, so a chasan would send the kala gifts. So let's say he sends her these gifts after he's become a gadol. So maybe you'd say these could be considered items of value with which to affect real kiddushin. Nevertheless, the halacha is ina mikudeshes. In all these cases, she's not mikudeshes. Why? Shemachmas kiddushin harishonim. Because ultimately, we assume that everything is predicated on the first act of kiddushin. And in this case over here, where he was a katan, the first act of kiddushin is halachically irrelevant. Shalach. Ve'im balu. However, again, if there was bia, kanu. Then Abba said, if there was bia in these cases, then lamaisa again, the bia was kona.
Correct.
Then the bia was kona. Reb Shimon Yehuda, Reb Shimon Yehuda Omer, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omer, in ba'alu lo kanu. And on the other hand, Reb Shimon Yehuda said, Reb Shimon, know that even if there was bia, the bia still does not affect the marriage. So the Gemara says, v'ha ha ha, titos. Now I will say, now what is this case? This essentially is a case over here of where there was a deficient kiddushin, but then there was a bia, a bona fide bia. So the shaila now is Rabbi Yosi says, so now does that bona fide bia essentially go ahead and does that follow the deficient kiddushin? Do we say that that is an extension of the deficient kiddushin and therefore even the bia won't be good? Or do we say no, that the assumption is ena demosa bilasa bilasnos, and therefore they have renewed proper kavana for the bia and therefore the marriage is proper? So the Gemara, now this is a machlokas. Now the Gemara says, what do you see over here? Vahahacha di itos isha achasin. Now this is a case that would fall under the umbrella of what we call Ta'os Isha Achos, which we said before that what? Everyone agrees is not a problem. So the Gemara says, Upligi, and yet again they are arguing, my love, Ta'os Nadar. Now, both say, when we said the case, and the Braisa said the case of where there was Kiddushin B'Ta'os, is that not a case of Nadarim? Meaning where he thought that she did not have Nadarim, and then it turned out she did have Nadarim. Lo, Ta'os Pachos Mishavar Pruta. No, it's talking about a mistake that he was mekadesh with an object that was less than a shavar pruta. Rav says that can't be. Pachos shavar pruta behedji katanila, but that's not true because the case of shavar pruta was explicitly stated on its own. To which the Gemara says pirushe kamefarish. Rather, the second statement that's coming to explain the first. Kid shabatos. If a man was mekadesh woman betos with a mistaken kiddushin, what's the case? Ketzad kegon shekid shabepachos mishavar pruta. What's an example? I was have a mistaken kiddushin. Where a man was a Kaddish woman with an article less than a Shavar Pruta. So we'll say, so, but my kamiflagi. So what are they arguing about? Mar Savar, one opinion says, Adam Yodea Shein Kiddushin Sov Simbizachos Shavar Pruta. So we'll say, well, the first opinion says, a person knows his Kiddushin was deficient. Because a person knows that Kiddushin does not take with an article that's less than a Shavar Pruta, and therefore what? And therefore when there was subsequent Bia, the Gamar Uba'a L'Shem Kiddushin. And therefore a man has in mind that he knows his first Kiddushin was deficient, and therefore what? He holds that the Bia should affect real Kiddushin. Umar Savar Ein Adam Yodea She'en Kiddushin Tovsin Ba'a L'Shavar Pruta. The other opinion says, you're really giving people too much credit. People do not know the intricacies of Kiddushin, and people do not know that you cannot affect Kiddushin with an article less than a Shavar Pruta. And therefore, V'chi Kabal, when ultimately Bia occurs, Adaita de Kiddushin Harishonim Baal, ultimately a person has in mind that he's affecting Kiddushin again, based on the first Kiddushin, and therefore Lamaisa, again, even the Bia is deficient. So we'll say that's the fundamental machlokes unfolding over here. Eisei, the Gemara is another kasha. Harini bo'alaycham lasha yir tza'aba. Well, this is an interesting case. A man says, I am having Bia with you on the condition that my father would approve of this marriage. In other words, we're affecting Kiddushin, we're affecting marriage through the Bia, but Lamaisa, the effectiveness of the marriage is contingent on paternal approval. My father has to approve on this. So what's the halacha? Af al pish la ratza av mikudeshes. Even if the father says, I don't like her, right? The marriage is still good, right? They both say, again, now we'll see why. So the marriage is still good. Rav Shimon Yehuda says no. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, "Omer Shimon Rabbi Shimon, excuse me, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Omer Shimon Rabbi Shimon, Ratsa av mekudeshes, lo Ratsa av in mekudeshes." No, if the father wants, if the father approves of the marriage, then the kiddushin works. This was a tznai. If the father doesn't approve of the marriage, then the kiddushin does not work. Ay v'ha'ha'cha dechitos isha achas dami. But Rabbi said this is like the case of tos isha achas. You know, Rabbi said this is like the case of, again, remember, one woman, kiddushin is taking place with a tznai, but there's still a bia. Now we just said before that what? That everyone will agree that in the case of Isha Achas, everyone will agree that the Tanai present at the time of Kiddushin will what, Rabbi Osai? Will what? Will be the same Tanai present at the time of Nisuin. So we would assume if he made a Tanai, the marriage is contingent upon a paternal approval, that Tanai should stand even if there was Bia. To which the Gemara says, no, Hasa b'haka miflagi. This is what they're really arguing about. They're arguing about Rabbi Osai as to what the definition of paternal approval is. Mar Savar, Almanas sheyir tzahav, Almanas sheyishto ka'av. Rabbi Osai, everything, what's the machlokes? What is the definition of paternal approval? So one says, paternal approval means my father's going to be quiet and not say anything bad. Right? So if my father doesn't say anything bad, then the Maisa, that's pretty much as good as I'm going to get. Right? That's paternal approval. That's paternal approval. And therefore, again, as long as my father does not voice his dissent about the father, then the Maisa, again, about my wife, then it's good enough. And therefore, the father didn't say anything, and therefore the marriage stands. Umar Savra Amanashi Yomar Abahain. Vaha lo Omar Abahain. But what's the other opinion says, no, what does paternal approval mean? Paternal approval means that my father is going to actively voice his approval. And therefore, in this case, he did not actively voice his approval. Therefore, what's Rabbi Osai? Therefore, it's not considered as if I have paternal approval about the marriage. And therefore, again, the Maisa, the marriage will not stand. So Rabbi Osai, therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that's the fundamental machlokis. The fundamental machlokis over here, it's not on the machlokis Rav and Shmuel, it's on the nature of the Tanai. When you say the marriage is dependent on paternal approval, how halachically do we gauge paternal approval? All right, Rabbi Osai, we're going to stop over here. Again, we're stopping a little bit mid-sugya by the Eisvei. Well, let me continue here.